Okay, I think we're on. Oh, good. Okay. So last week we were talking about the issa of wearing shoes on the Har Bayit, and we brought down the Rav Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who gave a very nice hesber. We had a few different hesberim, but one which I think has a different in-depth a meaning. And he showed that the Har Bayis has a din of the makom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's sort of like kav yochel, like we say, we're going to him. Unlike a shul, we are the boss of the shul. We decide we want to make the mechitza, we want to decide how high the mechitza should be. Har Bayis, there's no decision by us. Everything is planned from the Torah. So we are the guest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, the Rav said, that means Yira. That's a separate thing. That means Yira. It's like Lahavdil. You go into you go into the king's palace. You know, you're the guest there. You walk in there. It demands to be on your guard, like a special higher level of cover, but Yira of awe. You're amazed. You're awe. You're staying there with awe of the Malchus. The awe of the Malchus. That's the Har Bayis. But a shul is covered. Shul is our shul, but it's covered. Like the Rav explains, we invite a Kadosh Baruch Hu to us to come to our shul. You know, we go out to greet him, to bring him in. So that is a different level, and that level is covered. That level is covered. So here is a higher demand. And then we spoke about, so that's why, and also I just wanted to add, I think we mentioned also a little bit, that by Kedusha there always is difference between Chol. You always have to distinguish between Chol and Kodesh. And I forgot to mention also, but we see even on Shabbos, it says that your walking should not be like Chol. It's a Gemara on Shabbos. When you walk on Shabbos, it should be different. What does it mean different? It means you're not allowed to run. Well, you're not allowed to run on Shabbos, not take big steps on Shabbos. So your nature has to be through your nature expressed to Kedusha of Shabbos. That's through your nature expressed to Kedusha of Shabbos. Now, as you go to a guest, you don't run through his house. You know, you walk slowly, you sit down. You know, so your activities, your demeanor is an expression of Kedusha. And Shabbos, your demeanor has to be different. Like I said, you can't run, you can't take big steps even on Shabbos. So therefore, it's also another part of the understanding of that the way you walk around also shows that you recognize the Kedusha. Okay. So then we were left with what attire, if any, is permitted. So we know, knowing what we do know for sure, leather shoes is us according to everybody. And by the way, some want to say this, wearing shoes is a violation of the Raisa. Remember the Rambam Yira Mikdashi Tiro, that's a pasuk from the Torah. So it's a Kim and Yira. So it's a violation of the Raisa. Other ones say it's the Rabbanan, but okay, either way, it's an important mitzvah that we have to observe as we go up to Har Bayit. So everyone agrees that leather shoes are definitely Asa. And the analogies we mentioned last time is like all places we know. Yom Kippur, you don't wear leather shoes. Person's a novel, doesn't wear leather shoes. On the other hand, we do know if it's not a shoe at all, that would be permitted. Everyone agrees permitted, like wear socks, or like we mentioned the story of Alexander the Great. They wrapped these felt cloth around his feet, and they made it look nice. They put adornments on it, but he didn't wear shoes. So he wore something, a felt type of cushioning for his feet, which was fit for the king. So like socks would certainly be permitted, especially mentioned according to Rambam and Kippur, you have to feel the ground. So it sort of shows you on the ground. Shows you on the ground. So that would be permitted. I haven't come across anybody that said that's asa. But the question is, let's say it's not leather. You have sneakers, you have that non-leather sneakers that people wear on Yom Kippur. You have other materials that are shoes that are manufactured, or these type of, I don't know what you call them, slippers that are now very strong mold. It's a very, I don't know what they call them. Moccasins? I don't like, well, like moxas. Well, moxas are very thin, but they're hard. They're hard. Like, you can have wooden shoes. If you ever go to Holland, you get wooden shoes. But anyway, so are these in between top shoes, which are not socks and not leather, but they're comfortable, like a sneaker. Well, a sneaker's a good example. So then, we said, actually, the Pasuk in Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu goes to see the snare, and Akash Baruch says to him, Al tigrav halom sh'al no lechem al raglecha, ki hamokom asher tamed alav admas kodesh hu. Take off your shoes from the place. Right, so, but it does point out ki admas kodesh. So, by the way, it shows you that the mechayev is kodesh, mechayev is kedusha, mechayev is kedusha. Oh, also, I want to mention another thought is, that since the Har Habayis, as we mentioned the other night in the shiur on the meal, that the ground is kodesh. That's why the Radvai says it's not so terrible if the meal would have tzitzis drag on the floor. The floor is kodesh, and here also it's kodesh. So one aspect is kodesh domains year round. Another aspect is by making a chatzitza, by wearing shoes like you. Like, you want to separate yourself from the Kedusha. That's not covered. That's not covered. That's not covered. Like, Motei is no choice, but like a person comes up to say for Torah and doesn't want to touch it. He puts on gloves. No. Obviously, the klafik you can't touch, but the Atzichayim, it's Kodesh. You don't want to separate yourself. You want to show that this is dear to you. But anyway, so it says take off your shoes from your feet because land is Kodesh. Okay. So basically we said that it means any type of object or footwear that's a shoe. You can have you can have sneakers. Sneakers is a form of shoe. It doesn't have leather, and therefore wearing shoes, wearing sneakers or other material that's not leather. Would be asa. That would seem to be the point, which would seem to be the simple shot. Yeah, but along comes the Ramban. And the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. Ramban quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. And the pasuk about Nevuah in Yechezkel, where after we go through a separation from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we deviate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now we're coming back, the voice says we'll be close to Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take us out of our gullus, and we'll, it's all figured, we'll be speaking, of course, and we'll sort of dress us up, and in the description of where he describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dress us up with our comforts us, what we need. It says, "V'al bishach rikma." I'll dress your rikma. That's like a good embroidery. Ven aleich tochash, and I'll make you shoes of tochash.
Where in
Yecheskel? Perek Tezayin Pasuk Yud, and I'll make you shoes of tochash, and. And tochash is an animal, so it's a leather shoe. It's an animal. It's a leather shoe. So Ramban says that the shem, not the shem, na'alayim, na'al shoe is leather. That's what the Navi calls it. Now, I'll give you nice shoes. If it tells you of skin, tochash was an animal. It's not the same tochash that's in the Torah. That was for the Mishkan. That the one in Yechezkel was a behemah tamea. It was a different one. The same name. Maybe it mutated. I don't know. But anyway, one is a kosher animal. That was the time of the Mishkan, which is in the Torah. And the one Yechezkel was not a non-kosher animal. Anyway, so Ramban says that the Navi calls it, v'en aleich tochash. And I'll give you footwear of leather. I'll give you leather footwear. So Ramban says, you see, that doesn't have a din shoe if it's not leather. If it's not leather, it doesn't have a din shoe. That's Ramban. It's a very, very powerful raya. And basically on this Ramban, that came the source of halacha for all the areas, all the times that we are that we are restricted wearing shoes. Yom Kippur, you know, most people are saying machdat on Yom Kippur. They wear sport shoes, you know, sneakers and things like that. All things long as it doesn't have leather. That came the accepted standard pshat. But we also mentioned that those are machlek like the Rambam. And on Yom Kippur, the Rambam holds you have to feel the inu, you have to feel the ground. And so that would not be good. A sneaker, you don't feel the ground. So there are machmer, including the Rav, to not to wear any type of sport wear and to wear things that you can actually feel the ground. So it's a machogas. And Rover the Tzibur, we know, the minig, except the minig, or the pashan minig, the minig is to be serach on the Ramban. So I would say then, coming back to Harabayit, I would say that the same machloka should be. According to Ramban, should be mutter to wear any sportswear, as long as it doesn't have leather. So leather gives it the chashivas. The idea is the yira is showing that you won't dress yourself up. Because according to Ramban, you say when you come to Harabayis, you're not dressing yourself up by wearing the fancy shoes, but you realize it's Makom Kodesh, and the yira is to show that the covet is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Covered is Sakash Baruch Hu. So therefore, I would say that according to Ramban, it would be permitted to wear shoes that don't have leather. According to the Rambam, we see that he does not rely on the drasha of Yecheskel for Yom Kippur. So I would say the same possibility certainly exists, that he would not rely on the drasha of Yecheskel for Harabayit too. And the idea is to go to Harabayit to show Yira, that you realize the Kedush HaMakom. Anywhere you shall mock him, you take off your shoes. This is not your house. And we mentioned last time, you know, a shoe stand for you bringing dirty dirt from the outside. You leave the shoes outside. Shoes also demonstrate kinyan. We mentioned last time that you make a kinyan chalipimbo with a shoe that the land belongs to you. No, this is not our land. It belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're guests. We cannot even walk where we want to walk. So that is a demonstration of not wearing shoes. So according to the Rambam, I would say we also have to wear sneakers and things like that on the Harabayit. Okay. All right. So that concludes that topic about shoes on the Harabayit. Yeah. Go ahead. Question. Well, I would say you'd have to decide if you want to go like the Ramban or the Rambam. If you want to go like the Ramban, as long as it doesn't have leather. The Ramban holds, and he has a very powerful raya from Yecheskel. If it's not leather, we don't call it a shoe. It's the only thing you want, but it's not a shoe. Right? Okay. Okay, so now, let's take up another... Halacha on Harabayit. Yeah. And that's based on a pasuk in Devarim. Devarim, let me get out of the pasuk. Oops, 1 second. I have a chumash here. Sorry. Devarim. Tetzayin. Chav Aleph, Tezayin, Chav Aleph. Per Tezayin, in Shoftim. Yeah, Pasuk Chav Aleph. So the Torah says, Lo sita lecha asher kol eitz. You shall not plant an asherah tree, or asherah, or any tree. Eitzel mizbach Hashem lekecha asher taseh loch. You shall not plant a tree near the mizbeach of God your God, which you will be instructed to do. So therefore, there's an issur to plant a tree on the Harabayis. This is to plant a tree on the Harabayis. Yeah, so you go there, you'll see plenty of trees there. And that's the Arabs planted it. And the scuttlebutt is that they did it just to show the Jews that it's under their control, because they don't have that prohibition. and they'll do what they want with it, and therefore they plant trees there. So now, the question comes about: where in the higher bite is it us that to plant the trees? So Rashi says, Azhara lenotea ilan ulavona base bahar bayit. The Rashi learns, according to Sifri, that it's any place in higher bayit. It's any place in higher bayit, it's us that'll plant the tree. So according to Rashi, we have to really remove those trees. Again, that's part of the problem, was mentioned, that what they call the status quo is that we take a sidestep or a backseat in how we administrate the higher bias. So it's under the Muslims, and they leave it there, and we don't bother with it. One of the very big advocates for the Har Bayit is Rav Moshe Dov Tendler. That's Rav Moshe Zichar Tzadik Livracha, his son-in-law Shlita, and he's a very big advocate from 1967, right after the war. I understand that he learned right after the war. Rav Shlomo Gorin, Zichar Tzadik Livracha, started yeshiva there, and we go up to Ashur. We started yeshiva there, and I understand Rav Tendler was there, and of course, Shlomo Gorin was very, very pro Har Bayit at that time, and he had a yeshiva there, but very short lived, because Moshe Dayan didn't want it, and he told him to close it down. I understand. Again, this is all through the grapevine, as they say, that at that time Rav Goron was chief rabbi of the army, and he was actually in the troops and the platoon that took over the Har Bayit, and he, when it looked like that they're going to make it up to Har Bayit, he had a small Sefer Torah in his house. And he quickly had time to go back, and as they went up there, he was there carrying at that time, carrying a Sefer Torah, and he says he probably is the first one who brought a Sefer Torah to Har Bayit since Chorban Bayis Rishon. Remember, in the Kodesh Kedoshim, because Ezra read the Sefer Torah and the Azara, that's at by Sheni. Ezra took out the Sefer Torah and read the Sefer Torah in the Har Bayis, because I was not in the Kodesh Kedoshim. But at that time, they were clearing the Har Bayit area. There was still skirmishes shooting going on, and before he went in there, he inquired with the commanding officer, is it still necessary for us to go check out areas? Yes, because that was his heta. As long as necessary, that be sure no one's hiding in different places, and shooting was going on. So he felt that he can go in there to help look to see if any snipers are there. And he walked there with a Sefer Torah. Right through the Kodesh Kedoshim, as a military campaign to secure the area. Actually, that day, after it was secured, commanding officer Mordechai Gore told one of the troopers to go on top of the dome and to raise the Israeli flag, which he did. The guy climbed up there, and it's a job, as you'll see. There's no ladder up there. You have to climb to the inside and creep up to get to the top and do a shooting. Remember, the whole area was... the whole old city were Arabs, and they were shooting at him, literally. Bullets were whizzing by him, you know. Of course, when the bullets came by, the Israelis responded, put out the terrorists, snipers and so on and so forth, and the guy put the flag up there, and it flew. I think it flew for close to an hour. I'm not sure, I don't remember exactly, but it's close to an hour.
2 hours.
Then, what?
I heard
2 hours. 2 hours? Okay, different gear, sir. Different gear, sir. Okay, okay. Then the story goes, it was either the prime minister, that time was Levi Eshkol, or Moshe Dayan, sent message to Mordechai Goy, you got to take it down. From what I understand, Levi Eshkol said, or Moshe Dayan said, that we want to show respect for other holy sites, and we don't want to make it a battle area. We respect the holy sites, and Moshe Dayan's famous thing was that if you put it under the administration of the Muslims, keep it under the Waqf, he said there'll be peace forever. Like I often mentioned, he might have been a good general, but he certainly was a very poor prophet. So they told him we do not want it to look like that the Temple Mount, especially over the Dome of the Rock, is a military position. And he told Mordechai Goy to take it down. So Mordechai Goy went to the paratrooper and said, go up there and take it down. And the guy said, what are you, crazy? I almost got killed putting it up there. I'm not going up again. So he had to get another soldier who volunteered to go up there and take it down. And it was removed from that point on. Of course, it was always interesting, Moshe Dayan said, we want to show respect for other religions. Hey, what about your religion? It's a good place to start. Have respect for your own religion. You're on the Kodesh Kodashim, you know?
The Israel was built by people who do not respect their religion.
What?
I would say that Israel was built by people who wanted to make the Jews feel needy.
Yeah, okay. But cool, but of course, again, you know, it's a wide spectrum. I wouldn't say all of them. It's certainly, definitely true. Definitely some will want to make Israel a very secular state. But there are many non-religious Jews that have a lot of respect for religion. Listen, many non-religious Jews, there's a whole movement. The non-religious Jews go up to Harabayit. They take pride in being Jewish. Now, here you see Purim celebrated, Hanukkah celebrated. We got a wide spectrum of Jews that are living in Israel, and many of them take pride in being Jewish, even though they don't keep mitzvahs, but they're proud to be a Jew. And even the Tikva, which is written by a person who's not religious, said, Liot Am Chafshi Be'atzeinu Be'eretz Tzion, the land of Zion, the Harabayis. Yerushalayim, his goal was come. The Harabayis belongs to the Jewish people. But anyway, okay, so... So Moshe Dov Tendler, he was with Rav Shlomo Gaon in his yeshiva when he started, and then Moshe Dayan ordered him to shut down the yeshiva, and the story goes that they told Rav Gaon was thinking of making a fight. He's the chief rabbi of the army. And they told him so. No, Moshe Dayan, after that victory, Moshe Dayan was like king for the month. Whatever he said came law. We are supposed to be a democracy. Okay, so you have martial law. Okay, but it's not forever. It's not 52 years. Whatever he said came law. Till today, the status quo. I mean, it's 52 years. The status quo. He didn't bring peace. Nothing. The status quo is that only Muslims could prepare it, and not Jews. And that's it. And that law I mentioned last time is going to be tried again in court once again. Hopefully, we'll be more successful this time. But he set up the rule of the status quo, and he said that's it. And they said, let's start with him. Remember, it was a big victory, and he was given a lot of credit for the victory. He was chief of staff, and that's it. And he was considered king of the day. And that was him. And no, whatever he said went. Whatever he said primarily went. So, Rav Shlomo Gaon did not fight with him. Closed down his yeshiva, and he retreated. He retreated. Yeah. And also on this point, I want to mention another thing. Okay. So as the soldiers liberated the Harabayit. And again, when we go to point it out, as we know the psukim in Tanakh, min ha-tzafon tipotach hara, that from the north will come the invasion. That was the prophecy of Yirmiyahu. The north, that's what will come invaded from the north, and we'll see why. Because the other three sides are actually surrounded by cliffs. You'll see the coastal Moravi. That was a support wall. And remember, if you look at where the ground was at that time, if you were a general, that would be a bad place to mount an attack. On the south side and the east side, that's a bad place to mount mount an attack. But on the north side, it levels off. And actually, Herod had to build, had to dig in to the ground. Moats. To dig into the ground. So if soldiers would attack from the north, they'd have to go down into the ground and we'd have the upper hand. But in spite of that, it's not as defensive as the other three sides. So every single army that ever took the Temple Mount took it from the north. Every army that conquered the Temple Mount took it from the north except one. And that was the IDF. They took it from the northeastern corner, which is the corner of the east side. They're the only ones, the only army, to my knowledge, that never took the Temple Mount from the north, but from the east. We hope that, of course, that this should be the final time that we have to fight for it. So Rabbi Tendler spoke to, he told him many times, he spoke to Moshe about it many times, but he was going up there right after the war, right after the Six-Day War. But he would do is, for the problem of he felt, lo sita l'cho ashera, that you have to try to do some type of positive attempt to remove the trees. Now, obviously, he wasn't going to come out there with a saw and start chopping them down. So he would cut off a branch. Now remember, that tree is Kodesh already, because it's grown on Admas Kodesh. So you can't take that tree and build a house. So he would take that branch, and he brought it home, and whenever one of his children or grandchildren got married, he would burn that branch and use it for Eifah Makla on the head of the chassan. So it's going like using from one mitzvah to another mitzvah. He's using for another mitzvah for Eifah Makla. As time went on, the Waqf came aware of that and stopped it. So when you go up there, they're going to tell you, you cannot take off any branches, you cannot tear off any leaves, you can't pick anything up in the Harabayit. And they watch you. Although some people still do it, take off a branch here and there, but if you do, remember, you can't actually throw it out. You know, you have to burn it. So according to Rashi, it's the whole Harabayit. You're not allowed to plant any tree in the whole Harabayit. But let's take a look at the Rambam. Do I have the right one? Nope, I don't have the right one. Can someone get me the Rambam Amada of Odezor. Yeah, okay. Hard for me to get out here. That will bend in here. Very good. Yeah. So the Rambam says, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Let's get Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Right here. Oh, who had the page for me? Very nice. Okay. Okay. Someone's learning it. In Perek Vav Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Perek Vav Halacha Tes. So the Rambam says, Hanotea Ilon Eitzam Mizbeach, anyone who plants a tree near the Mizbeach, O B'chol HaAzara, or in the whole Azara. So Rambam doesn't say Harabayas. Rambam says, only the area of the Azara, which is a much smaller area, obviously, much smaller. And that is the Issa. Ben Elon Sarak, Ben Elon Michael, doesn't make this what tree you plant there, a fruit bearing tree, a non fruit bearing tree, Alpha Pish also Noi, Lamigdash, Vyofi, you want to say it'll make it look nice, now you have trees there, trees look beautiful, also, Harezer Loki, you get Malkus, Shenem Lositha Hashem Kol Eitz, Eitz Mosbach Hashem Lokech Hashem Tesaloch. Right, so the Rambam is really learning if you read the psukim, read the pasuk, I should say, it really seems to be very supportive of the Rambam. It says, "Losita lecho asher koetz eitzem mizbach Hashem akher Hashem tzelach eitzem mizbach Hashem." The mizbach was in the Azara. It seems to me that's the real issue. Now, of course, Rashi has a Sifri on his side, which does indicate the whole Arbayas, and they say Eitzel means Nid Mizbech, the whole Arbayas, Nid Mizbech. Where the Rambam seems to be B'chol Azara, means Dafkan the Azara, in the Kedusha Makam of the Mizbech. So that means, according to the Rambam, the planting of the trees where it's planted today, it's interesting, you go up there, there are no trees planted in the Azara. Well, we know pretty much what the Azara is, pretty much. There are no, it's open, nothing's been planted there. It's still empty of trees. Yes, according to the Rambam, that was not violated. That halacha was not violated. But that's not according to the Rambam. And also it says, so the goyim, they would plant trees. The goyim would plant trees near their altars. Why? Because people would gather there. I guess the sun, it's hot in the sun. So we shall know. We always try to make a very clear distinction between our observance of commitment to an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the goyim. So we therefore I'm saying that was the reason behind the Issa. So we shouldn't not think that we're doing a Vedazah like the Goyim. The Goyim, of course, we worship trees and so on and so forth, and that's us. And the Ram says also, V'asal asos achsadros, shel eitz migdash, k'deach she'osim b'chatzeros, after the Yishu b'binyan, v'ein eitz natua. Yes, Ram says, you can't make any wooden structure in Ha'abayas. You cannot make any wooden structure in Ha'abayas. Because what means tree doesn't mean planting trees, but it means affixing wood to the higher bias as a structure. But as far as support beams, they were made of Arzei Levonon. The higher bias was built with stone, but in the inside there were support beams that were Arzei Levonon. That's permitted. It's not a structure by itself. It's part of the wood structure of the stone structure of the Har Habayis, but there was wood in there, Azei Levonon, right? Cedar trees. Yeah. Now it is interesting. So therefore, there can be no wood structure on the Har Habayis. There's a little bit of a story that one of the archaeologists happened to be going. Looking for things. Anyway, went to a store and got some old wood. And caught his eye and said, "This is pretty old." He said, "Right away." He said, "Where got it from?" So the guy said, "There's wood lying around on the Temple Mount." So he went there and they found beams, very old. And they did carbon 14 tests on it. And they traced it back to the time of Shlomo Melech. And they realized this is antiquity. So they stored the beams. Now, of course, the Arabs don't want us to see them there, because one of their goals is to try to eradicate any connection between us and the higher bias. They try to cut off our chain between us and the higher bias. By the way, you got to keep in mind, this really only started after 1967. When it was under Jordan, they took their guides would say that. In fact, one of the guides or instructors that took me up there once, I can't think of his name. Is Mashul Dazil? You know his name? Is he? Yeah, Mashul. What's his name? The guy who took us up. Doctor, the one who took us up to Kedar. A big scholar, and he had a book. I try to get a copy of it, because you can't. It was printed in Jordan. It shows the book was printed in Jordan. And it was the book for guides to explain to tourists when they took them up to Har Habayis. Printed in Jordan. I forgot the last time it was printed, obviously before 1967. And in it said that the original building was built by King Solomon. It has, right there, you read us the pages, right there. Of course, that book's out of print, I tried everything. I even tried Google, but I think they cut me out or something. I don't know. They're getting very fussy these days, all these tweeting sites. But anyway, I couldn't find it. It's impossible to find. That's very funny. You do see pictures of the book, but you can't get it to turn the page. So there is, in Islam, they have their religion as a major problem, because they are monotheistic, or they claim to be so. Not really, but they claim. They're certainly better than Christianity, no question about that. But they claim their chain, Yishmael, back to Avraham Avinu. But they have no lineage. They can't change. They can't go back. They don't know, let's say, who they call their prophet. They don't know who his mother or father is, or back there, or their grandfather. Nothing. The only thing they have is Yishmael, Avram, Yishmael. So they gotta make a chain between Yishmael and them, and it stops. The Torah does give us a few generations of Yishmael, but then it stops. That's it. They're gone. They're lost. So the only way they could, the only thing you know about Avraham Avinu, is through the Torah. So they need that. In fact, in Mecca, right, not far from where Muhammad is buried, there's a rock. It's called in Arabic. It's called Mekim Ibrahim, which probably means Makom Avraham. That means their story is that Avraham Avinu came to Muhammad. And he stood on that rock and told him his new speech, and changed around the Torah, of course. Like, you know, remember, Christianity and Islam had the same problem. They saw the futility of worshiping of a Dazara. You take a rock and you worship it, it's ridiculous. So they had to upgrade their religion. They couldn't do Tag Mitzvahs. Tag Mitzvahs is not a simple thing, you know. Shachas, Mincha, Maariv, Tefillin, Pesach, dishes. Parva dishes, milcha, fleshig dishes, that, forget it, they can't do it. So they had to water it down. So Christianity took their thing. Islam saw that's too watered down, and they took theirs. So they took mitzvahs. Actually, Islam modeled many of the things actually after Yom Kippur. That's why they pray five times a day. They said if the Jews pray on their holiest day five times a day, we'll pray every day five times a day. So, but they have to make the connection to Avraham. They must make it. So they have that rock, and that's their story, that Avraham came. So they... Now, there was a time there was a fight between the different factions of Islam, and they cut off the chain to Mecca. So the Arabs living in Syria and the area couldn't get there. So they needed a new holy place. You have to have a new holy place. So what did they do? They did the old trick of finding a new place and saying, this is the real place. And they said, hey, listen, here's where Avraham really actually was. So this is the place Avraham really came to. It's in the Jewish Torah, right? So we don't have to go to Mecca. So that's how the Temple Mount came holy to them. They couldn't get to Mecca, and they came with the idea. Listen, the Jewish people have documented evidence of Avraham Avinu was here. That's it. Now all you have to do is just switch Yitzchak, the old switcheroo trick that you switch Yitzchak to Yishmael, that the Keter was done to him, and you got it solved. And that's it. So before 1967, they were very happy to say that Avraham Avinu and then King Solomon, and then when Muhammad came there. By the way, there's no historical evidence whatsoever that Muhammad walked here in any place in Israel. No evidence whatsoever. It's all, you know, as one famous president would say, fake news. Absolutely none. So it's all, that's it. So before that, they were very happy to show the connection between them and Avraham. They're Yishmael. Yishmael's a child of Avraham Avinu. Listen, that's a fact. Yishmael's a child of Avraham Avinu. So they had, here's where Avraham Avinu's children build. King Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. And Ezra, and then Muhammad came, got his new prophecy, and changed everything. Okay, fine. Oh, so they were told the tourists that this is the place of Avraham Avinu. But once came 1967... things change, and I'll just tell you why. Because if the Jewish people daven on the Har HaBayis, that's the last stand for Islam to deny Judaism. That means the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu came true. Absolutely, the Jews are coming back. Remember, that's why they fought against Israel. The Jews were not supposed to come back. We never accepted their Muhammad as a prophet. We never accept them as anything except Yeshu, nothing. And they said, that's why they took the place. They said, we didn't accept it. God kicked us out, and we're finished. Jewish people did their job. Now Muhammad took over, and that's it, finished. When the Jews came back to Israel, it was a shocker to them. So they always had, we still have the Temple Mount. So we took that. So then their last answer is, right, but the Jew can't pray there. So the Jew was only protecting it, but the Jew cannot pray there. That's why they fight to the end. This is the last stance, that the Jew should not pray on the Har HaBayit. If the Jew does, the words of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu, is coming true to the letter of the law, and we'll stop here. I think I pushed the button.